Okay, let me click over, Tim, and click you're over, ready to go.
Click over to the thing. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Podcast. I'm one of your three hosts. My name is Nicholas Scarpino, and I am a Capricorn. I'm sitting next to, of course, the second best baby blues in all of San Francisco, Mr. Tim Geddes.
I'm a Cancer.
Are you?
Isn't that like, yeah, what the fuck? Like, it's weird in multiple ways. Like, so, why call it Cancer? I don't like that. Second off, it's a fucking crab.
Like, yeah, well, Cancer is a Latin, cool, but... Latin word for lobster. It's weird.
That's true.
That's
no, it's not. It's
cancer. Okay, I was about to say what? I'm like that's weird. That lobsters and crabs, they're similar, but they're different.
We're gonna stop right here, everyone. We're gonna stop right here before I introduce the only other person on this podcast. This is gonna be one of those podcasts right now. Okay, Greg Miller opened up his sock drawer, put on two socks. Turns out both socks snakes. They bit him in the ankles. Now he has to walk around on his hands like that one dude that did 400 push-ups every day. Started with one push-up, man. You remember that guy? And then went to like 300 push-ups. And now he can walk on his hands better than I can walk on my feet. Do you ever see that guy, Andy?
In your mind, Nick, are you talking about like the snake socks just bit his ankles? Or like did Greg get all the way up to his ankle before it decided to bite?
Greg shoved his first foot, so far down that snake's throat that the snake regretted sleeping in that sock drawer. Second snake saw this happen, got a little turned on, was like, this is going to be the day.
Didn't today's see that happen.
Exactly. Yeah, didn't know.
Who interviewed the snakes about this?
Snake wrangler. Oh, wow. That other voice you hear, of course, ladies and gentlemen, is the Hispanic heartthrob Texas treat. Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globetrotting headshot nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
I'm an Aquarius.
You're such a fuck. Only Andy Cortez can say something like that and own it. You know what I mean? Like, I've never heard that, but of course it was you that said it, and I appreciate it.
I really want to bring an astrology expert onto the show and just talk to us about the charts and what they mean for us in the future. Because I would love to be convinced that there's validity to any of it. You know what I mean? But as of right now, it's like, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it makes a whole lot of sense. And if you tell me that there have been some awful people in the history of the world that are also Aquariuses, then like, I don't want to know that. Like, is that in my future? You know what I mean?
Gia's family really into all of this astrology
I'm
stuff.
I'm not surprised mom, by that.
Not at all. Her sister and her mom, very, very, very into it. So much so that like for Christmas one year, like her mom's gift to me, not that we do gifts, but she decided to. Her gift for me was like a whole reading of my astrology situation. And I had to take it seriously. And I didn't do too great at that, guys. I just gotta be honest. Yeah, no, it was a whole thing. But like, you really just gotta appreciate it, because like the way that they're explaining it, it's like there's like your rising sign, like the unrising sign. I don't know what it's called. There's like a whole bunch of all this stuff, and like halfway through
Metal Gear Rising,
the retrograde, all this stuff, and it legitimately at some point I was like, okay, but how much of this is canon? Like, how much of this do I actually like need to consume, and like what are we dealing with here? And it quickly became me and Gia talking. I'm like, I put you through the MCU and the Fox universe and the Sony universe and all this shit. Like, I deserve this. I fucking deserve astrology.
Look, the thing about it that I always come back to is like, do I believe in it? Do I believe there is a factual basis, a science out there that we just don't understand, where stars and moons align and things like that, and it does affect us? Not necessarily. Having said that, I do believe there is power in belief that there is something out there. I think that it becomes not a self-fulfilling prophecy, but I do believe in like things like the power of positive thought. And I think that if someone tells you, hey, today, this is your month, and you choose to believe in that, and that affects your mood so much that you go out there and visualize it and make it happen. Maybe it's not a conscious thing. Maybe it's a subconscious thing. What I'm saying is, I'm all for anything that's going to help me out, conscious or subconscious, as long as it's positive. If someone comes at me with a tarot card reader and puts the fucking Grim Reaper on the table, I'm slapping that shit right off the table. We're going to Starbucks. That's how it's going to go.
If you can dream it, you can do it. So what is it about tarot cards that make it make things different for you? Like, are they not of the same class?
I think it would be, but my worry would be they're going to go like, oh, here's the first tarot card, right? And it's like, oh, you're going to get next month, you're going to be an inch shorter. And I'm like, fuck you. I'm done.
Oh, gotcha.
I don't want the negativity of it. Okay. If you're going to tell me like, because you know when you read astrological signs and people are like, oh, here's what's the reading for Capricorn this month, and it's like things are going to be topsy turvy, but it's going to be really exciting. It's like a fortune cookie, right? Where you open that up and it's not always positive, but usually they're supposed to be positive, but then you get that one that's like, you're dumb, and you're like, well, fuck you, fortune cookie.
That's I didn't need that.
Here's the thing, guys. I feel like, you know, we're three gentlemen here sitting on a Kinda Funny podcast. What does that mean? That means that we're just going to talk about some stuff. Why don't we talk about whatever the internet says about us this month? Like, what's our month going to look like?
Well, I love that. Of course, before you do that, Tim, let me give a quick shout out to our Patreon producers, Anonymous, Nathan Lamathal. God, you know, Nick, you put a note in last week to figure out how to say this guy's name, and you didn't look at that note.
Unsuccessful.
The Lightning Queen, Gordon McGuire, and Fargo Brady. Andy, how do you say this word? Lamothe. It's the E that's throwing me off.
Lamothe. Lamoth.
Lamoth. Lamoth. Lamoth.
Lamoth.
Today we're brought to you by MapleStory and Lumen Skin, but we'll tell you guys about that a little bit later.
I wanted to bring up this website real quick, because this is for the year 2022 for us Aquariuses. And
I'm glad Kevin's not on this podcast, because he'd be like, don't. And you know you're saying it wrong.
And also, I have a Telestrator to point out things.
Cool.
Aquarius, you're an inventor. Ooh. An innovator.
What? How
are an you doing influencer. And sometimes a bit of a weirdo, which I don't necessarily agree with. I don't know.
It's in the complimentary way. I agree with it, Andy. As a third party, I can agree that you are all of those things.
I don't think I've ever been weird about anything in my life.
Being nice. You're a fucking weirdo.
Yeah. So
you're such a fucking weirdo.
Let me just scratch that, because I don't believe that. I don't believe in that.
Cool, but Andy, can you type in cool dude instead? Can you write in cool dude?
Cool dude.
Sometimes a bit of a cool dude in the most complimentary way.
So, yeah, like I feel like some of this, like, already they nailed it, right? Influencer, yeah. Inventor, innovator. I'm all of those, right? Mm-hmm. I innovate. Right now I'm innovating. Mm-hmm. I influence. Telecaster. I talk about a chicken nugget. Suddenly everybody wants a chicken nugget. And I'm an inventor, meaning when I'm hungry, I can invent a salad in front of me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I can invent a snack, which, like, I can go buy chips and maybe a soda, and there's an invention, right? And just in that first sentence, I think they nailed it. I think they nailed it all. Like, I don't really need to read the rest of it. Also, people call it, instead of, you know how, like, Uranus, everybody's always, like, a little weird about Uranus, mm-hmm. about
they
saying
say Uranus.
It.
Uranus.
No.
Because they don't want to get they want to get away from the way it's really said, because it embarrasses them.
Scared.
Even more different. There's a third iteration on that. Uranus.
No. Uranus. Aquarius.
It's one of those things where, I mean, this goes back to, is Pluto a planet, and should dinosaurs have feathers?
Yeah.
If we've called something Uranus for the better part of 40 years, you can't change that. That's how it's pronounced now. What you do is you put it in the dictionary. You say, this is how it should be pronounced, and this is how you dipshits have been pronouncing it all of Nick's life, and he can't unlearn that. You know, there's that old saying, don't teach a dog new tricks or he'll come for you.
Oh, it's a threat.
There's a lot that I want to break down here. Andy, can you bring that up again?
Yeah,
because sure. I just want you to read the first sentence of the second paragraph.
Rebellious Uranus, your home planet, is paired up with slow and steady Taurus this whole year. However, mm-hmm. you might run into some resistance while making the changes you're so fond of making.
What the actual hell is being said here? Like, I feel like we got to go deeper, because I'm on the same site you are, and I just got a pop-up that says astrology.com. Find out what's in the cards with a live tarot reading. $5 for 5 minutes.
I have a little
unlock my future or no do thanks. It. Are the options.
I have a notification here and I'm scared to open it.
Open it. I think it's the same thing.
Dude, do it. We'll reimburse it. It's a
personal newsletter.
Get the personal. I want Tim to do the online tarot card reading. I want to see what's in our future.
I clicked on it. I clicked the do it. And it sends you to a keen.com/psychic readings. And there's a bunch of different people. Linda Bloom is one. Earth Angel Oracle is another. Both Jedi in Training.
That's the one.
That's or divine one. Divine divination. Want answers? Ask Double D.
Wow.
Listen, guys, listen. Listen, this is we're going down a rabbit hole here that I absolutely 100% agree with. If this podcast ends up with us, with Greg being gone, when he comes back, we have an official Kind of Funny spiritual reader who pops on every once in a while and does tarot card readings for us. I think there's no better outcome, personally speaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
2022 love for Aquariuses. Love isn't always the main thing on your mind, Aquarius, but you enjoy experimenting with various romantic situations and looking at them from different perspectives. So you'll have a lot to look forward to when you read about all the romantic possibilities in 2022. I mean, hey, astrology.com, it's May. It's the middle of May. So I'm not sure. Like, we're running out of time. So yeah. Already I'm kind of like calling BS on this. As love goddess Venus is turned around and headed retrograde in ambitious Capricorn as the year begins, your mind will probably be on other things, quite frankly, because in Mother Base, Sniper Wolf will eventually change it. See, I'm glad y'all caught it. I was wondering if y'all were going to catch it or not.
Tim wasn't here, I'd have been like, yeah, that's fucking...
I was wondering, yeah.
Sounds good. What did they say about Capricorns?
Something about ambitious Capricorn. As your love goddess Venus is turned around, so imagine love goddess Venus, she's looking the other way, is headed retrograde in ambitious Capricorn, which is like a string of words that I didn't know could really make sense in that order.
Yeah, it's like Shakespeare, where you're like, I don't think this means anything.
Yeah.
And you're just like, it does. I'm
like a whilst or a shallst, you know? Whilst
they won't stay.
Yeah.
Shallst they.
Are they going to ask me to pay to continue reading? No. We're good. Romance easily takes a backseat when you have a work crisis to deal with, Aquarius. And you might not even miss it that much. Wow. Mm. How about that?
How about that? Yeah.
Tim, you let's dive.
What's up?
You said you were a Cancer, right?
I am Cancer.
Are we going to read yours now? Is that what we're going to do?
Yeah, I got mine. The sentimental moon is your ruler, Crab. And so while your emotions rule over you, they don't have to necessarily rule you. And yes, there is a difference. You have choices. And this year allows you the chance to show that you're not the emotional mess that you're often portrayed to be.
That's what
if
I think.
If there's one thing people think about Tim Geddes, emotional mess.
Yeah. The man who's never once lost his temper on a podcast. Or in the office. I love it. He's always clean and cool. But yeah, underneath that calm surface is just a tirade, a torrent.
See, I get that, like, just can't be for everybody. And like specifically can't be for me, because as a crab, you most likely always look forward to summer because that's when the sun appears and you love getting in the sun.
You love it.
See, they use most likely there to kind of give themselves the out.
Sure. They you got know a little what I wiggle mean? Room there. Yeah.
Yeah, let's get into Nick's. Where are we at here with this?
I'm a Capricorn. I want to know who writes these and what is the general direction. Is there a council of astronomers that are out there that's like, hey, we're going to agree upon this stuff? Or if I go to another site, is it completely different than what it is on this site?
I love that you asked that, Nick, because I was sort of wondering the same thing where are these, like, if I go to a different website, will there be conflicting information? Or do they all kind of have... Like, are there sacred texts that they borrow this information from?
Exactly.
Will anybody say, no, actually, that's an older way of thinking. We now think X and Y as opposed to A and B.
Exactly.
And with Nick's, let's go to yearly.
Because, you know, Andy, I don't know if you grew up going to church a lot. I don't recall you ever being very religious.
But I did. I went to church a lot as a kid.
You know, I've gone to a lot of Catholic churches in my life because, you know, my family, we have rage issues. So we just get kicked out a lot. But I'm joking about that. We went to the same church for a very, very long time. And then we skipped over church when I left that school because the new church had a 30-minute service. And my mom liked that better. It was like a Saturday night service. She was smart. Like, this works out much more. I was like, yeah, that's what God wanted for us. Just our convenience whenever we wanted to go. And I shut the hell up because I was like, 30 minutes on a Saturday night, way better than an hour and a half on a Sunday.
What are you, Nick?
I'm a Capricorn.
Capricorn.
But that's the thing is you go to one church, go to the other church, Tim, they tell you the story of God, you know, Jesus turning water into wine. It's pretty much the same story no matter where you go. They might throw a little flair on it. Was he wearing Birkenstocks? Was he not wearing Birkenstocks? What color were they? But overall, the main details, pretty much the same.
All right. I have Nick's horoscope for today. Today's a good day for hiding away at home, dear sea goat. They called you a deer sea goat.
Yeah, that's what.
Not like a mix of a deer and a sea goat. They're calling you just like deer, like D-A-A-D-E-D-E-A-R.
Like my sweet deer goat.
Right, not like a deer goat, which is two separate animals. As the moon travels through Sagittarius, forming a supportive connection to Jupiter, you have pain in your eyes. Whoa.
What?
Whoa.
Holy shit.
I made that up.
Oh my god! I was like, "Holy shit! There's something to it. There's something to it."
I made that up.
I was fucking in, man. I was like, "We're paying all the $5 to these guys."
You got me, man. If you had never said, I'd be like, "Oh my god, this is real."
I got you, bitches. Though you may be stuck at the office during the day, you should have plenty of time this evening to embrace quiet and solitude, especially if you take a step back from your communication devices. See, like, here's the thing. These horoscopes, if you're reading this horoscope in 1930, they're not talking about a communication device. So, like, somebody's updating these things, right? Like,
well, maybe, but you never know, because it might be like a radio that you were listening to back then, you know? That's a communication device. TV.
No, they had know radio what, for they know what they're doing. They're trying to not say get off your cell phone and TikTok, like, is what they're trying to say. Or in Nick's case, Instagram Reels, you know.
Oof. I forget. Would one of you guys send it to me, or did I think it was a comic movie that I saw where he was talking about Instagram Reels. He goes, "Do I watch TikTok? No, I watch all of them on Instagram Reels 2 weeks later, like an old ass man." And I was like, "Fuck, that hits so hard. That hits so fucking hard." But this is my thing: is like, earmark this, Andy. Put this on the calendar right now, and I want you to put an invite on the calendar to all of us for 1 year from now. I want to reread these things and see if they just reuse the same ones.
Okay,
year. You can. On the site, you can actually go back and see the other years.
Well, I want to see what mine is for this year, 2021. That's what I want to know.
Okay, you want to see... Wait, 2022 or 2021?
What is this year, 2022? I want to see a year ago. What was my horoscope for this week?
Oh,
for
so ago? We could kind of compare and see like how true this was. Wow, okay, that's smart.
Because I'm scheming here. I'm Tim Geddes in this, right? I'm thinking we write 10 of these things. And then we just reuse them with different words, and we just keep throwing the word retrograde in there and just see if that's a good economy of motion, you know, economy of scale there. And then
we're about to invent new astrology.
Oh, God, that'd be so cool if we did.
That'd be so beneficial for us.
I feel like we should do this. And like, Andy, I think you're kind of onto something. Kojima was ahead of his time coming up with like the Sniper Wolf and Decoy Octopus. And all that was just his version of astrology. Yeah. We need to come up with the kind of funny, like what, how many are there and what are the different signs?
See, the thing is like, these are based on, you know, constellations, right?
Yeah. We don't need to do. See, the thing is though, they're based on the constellations, but have you ever seen them draw out the constellations?
Doesn't look like anything like the picture.
Nothing. It's five stars, and they draw a fucking goat, sea goat.
They had really good imaginations.
They had nothing better to do, right? They were staring up at the fucking, it was that or play with themselves for the 14th time that day. They got nothing else.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, YouTube audience, how do the volume levels sound? Let me know. I have to be lower than Nick and Tim. I have to be lower than Nick and Tim because of the way things
work. Yeah, by the way, to audio listeners, video watchers, everything, Greg is out, Kevin's out, Andy's running the show.
Andy's running the show.
He tried his best.
The inmates
Nick's
are running
fucking
the
eyes got like legitimately decimated by God knows what. Probably, so
I'm thinking bacteria or sin. We're not quite sure.
Going back to
Catholicism, it's possibly because I've been sinning too much.
The loose says, my KF astrological sign is Andy with 50 jackets on. I like that. Good.
I just want everyone to know, there's so many things to unpack here. I'm making mental notes, but I'm going to miss all of them. One, shout out to Kojima, because he blew my mind the other day. He tweeted out something saying, "See, I don't just eat udon." And of course, Tam responded to him, "Udon need to tell us that." And it was just a banger of a joke. Great, great exchange all around. But what blew my mind was, he tweeted out a picture of what I assume was a breakfast burrito with a coffee sitting on top of a bundle of French fries. And I thought to myself, is there nothing this man can't innovate on? Because I've had French fries in a burrito, but can you guys think of a time in your life where you ordered a burrito and French fries and ate them together?
No.
Is one stuffed in the other?
No. See, that's the thing. I've had those. I've had burritos with French fries, and it's called California Burrito. We serve it all the time in Northern and Southern California. Actually, it's more of a Northern California thing. Never really saw it in SoCal, but well, I digress.
I think it's San Diego, and then here.
That's what it is.
It's called different things, different places.
That's what it's called. No, you're right, Tim. It's called the San Diego Burrito. You're spot on. But I've never
seen. People call it California up here. It's weird.
Ah, okay. But I have never seen a place other than there is one place called Baker's, which is a fast food restaurant where you can get a burrito and French fries because they have, but they don't really, it's not really a combo. You don't get the burrito and French fries. The fact that you can't walk into any place and get the burrito with a side of French fries and eat them separately, but at the same time is weird to me. And it's one of those moments where it was like, it's so simple and it's been in front of us the entire time. But of course, the simplest things, Andy, take the smartest men or women or people to figure out. Daigo Jima just blew my mind.
Make the best of it.
Like, holy shit. It's interesting to think about because like I feel like the burrito is in conception, in theory, like the whole point of it is the entire meal is in one thing, right? Exactly. You're not supposed to have a side with, with burritos, well, which is interesting because I'm thinking here, you do get the tortilla chips, right? But I don't necessarily think of tortilla chips as a side. They're kind of this other
garnish,
branch.
Right?
They're a garnish. That's all that they are. Yeah.
Although, to be fair, I had an idea the other day because I went to Tropa Sueño for lunch after the Jim Hansen Museum. I think we talked about this. And the lunch was so terrible, but the chips were great. I was like, why isn't there just a place that's just chips and salsa where you just walk in and you're like, let's be honest. I eat the chips, Andy. I fill up on the chips. I'm done. By the time the meal gets there, I'm like, I don't really need to be eating this. I eat it because I overeat and I love it. But anyway,
well, it depends on how good the salsa is. Like, there's some times that you walk into, there's some places you walk into places where chips and salsa just seem like they gave that job to the intern and the intern worked there for 6 days and then quit. Like, there's when a Mexican restaurant does not put enough love and care and thought into the chips and salsa situation, it is one of the saddest sort of experiences.
I mean, look. Gordo Taqueria is very near and dear to my heart. I will be the first to admit that they dropped the ball hard when it comes to the chips and salsa situation. Like, it is just, I just don't know what they're doing. I feel like if you are a taqueria and you have to pay for the chips and salsa, that is a sign that there's a problem.
100%.
Like, it needs to just be like, this is the default where they're like, no, we fucking got this stuff. Y'all are coming. Y'all know you're getting this as part of the meal. And that's the point.
When you go to a bakery, right? Or you go to a place that like a patisserie or some place that cooks sweets and you go, what is the staple? Like when I go to Susie Cakes and I go, what is the one thing that you guys make that should be the signature thing here? That is the epitome of what you are. That represents your business and your brand. Of course, to me, it is the cupcake. So when you sell cupcakes and that's your business, I go in there, I'm like, I should be able to say, give me any old regular cupcake as the lowest common thing that you do. And I eat it. I should be blown away. It's the same with the taqueria. The salsa is the baseline. I should be able to go into a taqueria.
I think that is such a stretch. Like that comparison doesn't add up.
I was going to say like, chocolate chip cookie, but like I haven't had a good
chocolate. Icing on top and salsa. Sure.
We'll put it this way. Like you go to a baker and you go, give me a chocolate chip cookie. Right.
Yes.
And the chocolate chip cookie better blow me away.
Right.
If you don't get if you can't get the chocolate chip cookie right, how are you going to get my wedding cake right? How are you going to get the more complex things right? It's the simplest things that you got to nail. And when you walk into a taqueria and you see the cart over there, you know what I mean, Tim? The cart that's got and you're and you know what it needs to be, Andy? A little messy. A little messy, and you should kind of be a little confused as to which one's the really hot salsa and which one's the one you liked last time. Mm-hmm. And you always have to make the mistake first, and then you can't taste the rest of the meal because you got the habanero salsa first, and it just fucking nuked your thing. Mm-hmm. But what I'm gonna dial it back before we go back into creating new astrology, and I'm gonna say everyone close your eyes. Everyone out there listening, close your eyes. You're at Nick's Taqueria, not Nick's Crispy.
You want me to close my eyes too? Because I saw Tim.
Andy, close your eyes. You just walked into my brand new taqueria. Open your eyes. You're inside. It's clean in here. The salsa bar, super messy, so you know it's a good time. It says free salsa. Help yourself to chips.
No, and then you walk up and you say, shouldn't have to say that.
And you say, I'd like a burrito. And I say, sir, the chips are free, but would you like chips or would you like French fries on the side of this burrito? What do you say?
It's a chips. Chips is the easy. No, I'm not going for French fries at a Mexican place. Like when I know the chips are the perfect complement to it. Period.
Now Tim smiled though. Because Tim's a forward thinker. Andy, you and I, we have our feet stuck in the cement here. Tim's thinking 10 years into the future.
There's no.
I'm firmly with Andy on this. Okay. Like, I am not with this far future. However, I will say, I stand by this. I have never, ever had a bad French fry at a Mexican restaurant.
Mm.
They know how to fucking make French fries, man. Yeah. They're seasoned differently.
Yeah, you're so, right. I'm not disagreeing with that. Yeah.
But I'm with you. It's like, no, the chips are a different thing, man. The chips are the garnish.
When I talk shit about the French fry at a Mexican restaurant, it's more of like it doesn't hold a candle to chips. Like, if I have a burrito or like a plate of tacos or something or enchiladas, I know that a crunchy tortilla chip that has like the perfect seasoning on it, it's going to be like the best sort of complement to it. Mm-hmm. It's like, because I can eat them in tandem. I'm taking a bite of the enchilada. I'm putting that in my mouth. I'm getting a little, tortilla chip afterwards. Taking a little, it's just such a good crunchy to soft sort of complement that I don't think French fries could ever compare to.
I'll never forget the first time I watched Kevin eat a burrito. It blew my mind because he didn't eat. So how do you eat a burrito, Andy? Can you show me? Can you show me how you eat a burrito? Show me how you eat a burrito.
So the way I do, okay, honestly, I'm kind of weird. I'm kind of weird.
Of course you are.
I'll rip.
Why couldn't you just fucking do that? I just want you to do this. Just turn the thing down. Why can't you just do it?
No, I'm weird because like I'll rip off a bit of the top because it's like too much tortilla.
Yeah.
I'll like kind of rip off just a tiny bit of it because I want my first bite to be like the mixture of what I want. Right? I don't want it to be 98% tortilla.
Yeah. No. To me, that's like that's the price you pay. You got to get through that first dry ass.
Dude, see, I'm a sick fuck, man. The tortilla is like my favorite part. I love that first fucking bite, but the only thing I love more is that last fucking bite.
I like the last bite. See,
yeah, Nick's seen me. I'm a monster when it comes to my burrito habits, and like people judge me, and it's okay. Tim, do you want to explain it, Nick?
Zero tries to fucking balance the burrito over and over again. It's the most.
Oh, no, that's you that does fucking, that shit. No, okay, don't talk shit about that. That's a legitimate strategy.
No, because it gives me fucking anxiety. It's gonna fall over. All the shit's gonna.
It doesn't.
By the way,
before
we go on, I wasn't talking shit about Kevin. Kevin was an innovator, and I don't want people to think that I was making fun of him.
Innovator,
because
is he a fucking
Aquarius?
Because he ordered a wet burrito and ate the whole thing with chips. I don't even think he touched the burrito with either his hands or utensils. And I'm like, I think I tweeted about it once. It was one of my first Instagrams maybe. And I was like, are you just eating that burrito with chips? And Kevin's like, yeah, man, because I'm going to eat the chips anyway with my hands. Why bother stopping? And I'm like, fuck.
Oh,
this guy's playing chess. I'm playing checkers.
It's got to be a quote.
God bless the wet burrito.
It's got to be a quote that just kind of follows kind of funny forever. I'll never forget the first time I watched Kevin eat a burrito.
Yeah. I literally won't forget. There's a sincerity there.
I won't forget, man. It was like, it might not have been the first, but it was definitely that first time we used to go to, what was that place by the old studio we used to love going? It was like in the college campus area.
Oh, Dos Charros.
We used to go there so much. And then I think one day you and I just looked at each other and we're like,
it's I'm over it.
This place is yeah. not
like, I never liked this place, but yeah, we're here.
It was so. It was so whatever. Like
it's just easy to park.
Is that why?
That's what it was.
If I'm
that's
being honest, when I think about it, because we all kind of run things through the rubric of like, is it taste good? Is it easy to get there? How far is it? How expensive is it? And that one just ticked off enough boxes. I was like, I don't want to think today. That's why we always went there or Marnie Thai.
The new studio. We're about to, Andy, you ain't fucking ready. We are about to come up. There are no less than three, I would say, top tier taquerias, like different types. You're looking for different types of burritos, you're going to be good. Best wet burrito I ever had in my life, Lisa's. It's going to be a great time. You can hear Kevin talk about it a whole bunch. They're closed on Mondays. That's really unfortunate.
He doesn't like it.
How often do we try going there on Mondays? Too often?
Every time.
Oh, God.
Too always occurs.
All right. It's upsetting. But then we're also directly across the street from the taco truck. And shout out to Taco Truck. You know what I mean? It's a different type of experience, right? Like you're getting those street tacos. You know what you're getting. And what you're getting is quantity, baby.
Dude, I will back that up, Andy. This truck that's across from the new studio. I was hungry one time when I was over there. I was like, I'll try it. It can't possibly be. It's the best burrito in all of San Francisco. It's so freaking good.
That's a lie.
It was one of the best burritos I've had since moving to Northern California. I enjoyed it so much. Did I also enjoy it because potentially the guys that run the liquor store behind me were throwing a full-on fucking dance party with lights
and
like smoke? And I was like, what's going on in here? And I walked in and I was the only person in the liquor store. These guys are just throwing it out there at 2 o'clock on a Thursday for no reason. That's the kind of vibe that Daddy Nick vibes with. I enjoyed it.
I just want you
that
to
seems
know.
Like that seems like something you'd call the cops on and get them I mean, to shut down.
Andy, I'm telling you right now. So across the street from the new studio, there's a taco truck. And directly next to it, there's this liquor shop that's been there forever. And what Nick's describing is not a random occurrence. It is every time you'll ever. I've been going there my entire life. And you go in, it's a family-run organization, and they are just throwing a party. It is the most Bay Area-ass party I have ever seen, and it is without fail. Like, there will just be loud music playing. There's disco lights going off. There's, like, DJ lights. Yeah. It's so unnecessary, but it's awesome. LEDs everywhere. Like, it sounds like a Tim Gettys fever dream. But my favorite thing about it is they're the type of place that has, like, when you go to there to get a soda, and you look at all the sodas, and you're like, how come they're running promotions for like Avengers 1 on these sodas? You know what I mean? You're just like, something seems wrong about this. And then you see like they have like six different refrigerator doors that you can open that are all pre-portioned cocktail mixes. Yep. Where it's incredible. Like in the little Ziploc bags with handwritten on it, like the Incredible Hulk. And it's like all these like custom ass fucking like drinks. It's the most Bay Area shit ever. You get the small little like alcohol that's like the self-serving alcohol. Whatever.
Yeah. It's and officially then, like, licensed by Disney.
It's just so fucking funny, dude. Like shout out to this place, man.
No, literally, Andy, he's not lying. Every time I walk into this place, they have, you know, those DJ lights that are like octagonal that you hang on things. But like, imagine a DJ dance party. Imagine like a day wedding where no one's dancing. That's what this kind of looks like, but the lights are still strobing. And every single time there's one that's just aimed straight at the door, right at your eyeballs. Maybe it's like my perfect height. It blinds me for a solid 5 seconds. And then whenever you buy something, you'll take it out. You'll be like, why do I smell like patchouli oil? And you'll smell the can and be like,
what is that? What is
Starbucks? Patchouli oil is like incense, you know, where they burn it. And like, they burn so much incense. But I think the guys, I don't know what the, you know what I mean? Like, I think they indulge.
For audio listeners, he did like a smoking, like a bong like kind of
smoking the joint
sort of thing.
Yeah, I think they smoked the marijuana a little bit or something. I'm not sure what they're doing. I don't want to blow up these guys' spot, but they're covering whatever's going on in there with incense, and it permeates every single aluminum item in there, which is every item. So every time I get a sugar-free Red Bull or a Starbucks like iced coffee, I take it in my car. I'm like, why does this smell like all of my friends in theater in high school?
Now
they would all like put that whale shit on themselves.
Now, you all talk about, like, here's the thing. I've never been a massive burrito guy. Like,
what? How do I not know this about you? Do you wear glasses?
Burritos just like
this is it right here. That's perfect.
Fresh pussy. Is that your picture?
Yeah. See, this is literally from the plant culture. We don't even tell us. Oh my fucking god. Oh my god.
Look, like, fresh this pussy.
It's ridiculous, y'all. And hold on, Andy, I sent you one a video if you can pull that up.
Well, this is candy. Liquid Viagra.
Yeah.
Bad girl. Sexy baby.
I want to just point out, I'm not a doctor. Please don't take anything I say seriously and look everything up. But I'm pretty sure Jägermeister is not liquid Viagra. I think it's the opposite of Viagra. Nothing's going to kill your dick like a bullet. Sorry, what were you going to say, Andy?
The green thing. you sent a video as well, Tim?
I sent one video that perfectly explains
what Nick's talking about. Of course you have
Let's see.
We're going to watch this video. But before we do, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you about our sponsors.
Shout out to MapleStory for sponsoring this episode. Are you tired of being judged based on the way you look? MapleStory is too. Because while it may look cute and cuddly, this is a deeply hardcore MMORPG. MapleStory is full of vast, colorful lands and a ferocious array of towering monsters. And don't get us started about damage. MapleStory will have you dealing billions with each swing of your Fafnir battle cleaver as you battle boss after boss. epic boss. And you can customize your Mapler your way. Maple Story has 40 plus jobs and thousands of weapons, outfits, hats, armor sets, and mounts for you to take on your journey. From the Lionheart Battle Bracers to vicious lollipop wands. And you know I love a lollipop wand. There's a ton to see and do in this picturesque world, and with 18 years of content to sink your Genesis weapon into, there will always be a new adventure around the corner. Maple Story is ready to go. Are you? You can go to MapleStory.com to check out the game and play for free. That's free, guys. Come on. MapleStory.com. This episode is brought to you by Lumen. If your skincare routine is basically you washing your face in the shower with that one shower gel that you've been using since high school, then it's time to level up the skincare game. Thanks to Lumen, you can drop that bottle of 3-in-1 and start using products that actually take care of your face. With Lumen, you get the highest quality products. All their products aim to help with those stubborn acne scars, under eye dark circles, wrinkles, sun damage, dry skin, oily skin. Gia has been using the charcoal face wash and charcoal face scrub, and she feels so fresh, so clean afterward. She has dry skin, so especially during the winter, it's nice to have that hydration and exfoliation. Also, she's a big fan of the really subtle citrus smell. All you have to do is take a 2-minute quiz on their website, and they'll tell you exactly which routine is best for you based on your skincare needs. Level up your skincare game with Lumen Skin today. You can go to lumenskin.com/kindoffunny to get your free trial of Lumen's products. That's lumenskin.com/kindoffunny to get your free trial of Lumen's products. lumenskin.com/kindoffunny.
Let's watch this guy. Why are you bringing it up?
Hold on. I'm just
gonna take a note for you, Andy, where the sponsor thing was, because I don't know if you're.
Please do. I'm definitely not keeping time. Okay. Time codes. Thank you for that. Hold on. Yeah. Now, Tim and Nick, you will not be able to hear the audio here.
It's totally fine. Honestly, okay. I just want the audience to understand that me and Nick weren't exaggerating at all about anything we were saying.
This is at all times. At night, it's awesome. At day, it's just awkward.
Mm-hmm. Here it is.
But I say I like the energy.
Yeah. Oh, gotta love it.
Man.
Tim, do you know what this reminds me of? Did you read that story about the Bobo place that was a front? Yes.
Quickly's, dude.
Dude, what? Was that the one by Greg's old place?
No, it was a different one. It was the one on Larkin. There was last week, there was this giant criminal bust of essentially people were losing a lot of electronics, like iPads or cell phones, like things were getting stolen. And they were slowly being found at this Boba place in San Francisco. And people would notice that there was like a suspicious amount of electronics just like on the cashier's desk, and they're like, this seems fucking weird. And the DA of San Francisco started this whole sting operation where they would like leave tracked phones and iPads in cars. Shit. They'd get broken into, and then they found that it all led back to this quickly.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Like, it's real life Fast and Furious shit where you see, it's like the two pictures I saw was like the quickly, the storefront where you'd walk in and just see it. And then the back room was just boxes of electronics that they had stolen off of people's like porches or like, you know, front steps, things like. Andy, you should check and see if your Samsung Galaxy 2S is there.
Whoa. Holy shit. That's not a bad idea, Nick.
They might have been the ones. This is what I'm talking about. You read stuff like this and you're like, I don't actually think stuff like that happens. It's very weird because that you could easily see them making a movie about that or something silly. It's just so ridiculous to think about that. And it's what I think when I walk into not this liquor store, but there's another liquor store up the street from us where you walk in and they only have 4 items on the thing. And it's like a gas station / liquor store. But I'm like, I don't think you guys. And it's like also they sell euros or something like that. But I don't ever see anyone buying.
You're talking about Victor's?
Shout out
to Victor's, man. Victor's my homie. Yeah, okay. That place is dope. We like that place.
Okay, we like that place. Then maybe I'm thinking of a different one because there's 3 liquor stores within us. Which one's the one by the gas station where it's got the halal place?
Yo, there are definitely some places around our new studio that are fronts. Like there's no question. They're fucking fronts. There has to be.
And
like,
is it more? And is it from the standpoint of like, how is this a thriving business? Is it that sort of? Because I have that thought about so many places in San Francisco when I just think about the rent costs, and it's like, how many people are actually bringing I don't know why the first thing I think of is like this, like a sort of child's learning center that isn't a school. It's just kind of a, may seem just like an after school program sort of thing.
Yeah.
But like part of my mind just wonders like, how much are they charging? What's the, how are they affording this? And I honestly, I think the same thing about little random corner stores too. It's like, I just bought a soda for $1.80. Is that enough to cost what this, like who's buying all this stuff, you know?
Well, it's so funny because the corner store by, we used to joke about this all the time. The guy from the corner store by me, you know, you live in a neighborhood in a city like San Francisco and you get to know the people in your neighborhood. And and let's be honest, if you don't know at least a few details and or the name, or that guy doesn't know you at your corner store, you're probably not living your life right in San Francisco, because I'm homies with everyone within walking distance of me. But we used to joke around with this younger guy that used to work in the corner store by where I used to live before he moved, because his uncle ran the place. And I would always bring stuff up to him, and I swear to God, it had the Walgreens tag still on it, the price tag still on it, and he just put his price tag over it.
Yes,
and
hell
it was
yeah.
It was always like $5 more than whatever Walgreens charged for it. And it was a solid, every single product, you had to look at the Best Buy date, because I'm not kidding when I said some of this shit was like solidly 6 months out of date, to the point where I'm like, I'm pretty sure if I ate this right now, I'd have to go to the hospital and have my stomach pumped.
I'm going to not get these Cheez-Its right now.
Oh, dude, it was cheap. The Goldfish was always the heartbreaker, because you'd have to check. Actually, no, Goldfish went fast. It was always like mayonnaise or like canned chili, where you're like, I'm going to check this out and just double check. And the Oreos were always bad, because you'd get the Oreo and you'd bite into it and it would be that soft, stale, kind of gummy Oreo that had just gone bad like so long ago.
I'm gonna do a call out right now, another public call out, and I hope that this gets clipped out. I hope it gets aggregated. I hope that several news media outlets actually cover this, and you know, whether it's gonna bring a lot of shit and harassment to their studios, I don't care. Like, I this needs to be heard, this needs to be said. I really am sick of it. I really am sick of different packaging of Goldfish affecting the flavor profile, affecting the crunch, affecting the shape. What is going on? Is there a Goldfish facility that only puts Goldfish in the tiny plastic bags? And then there's a facility that makes Goldfish only for the paper sort of pouches that we know, like sort of the default.
Like the coffee bags, the ones that like look like you get coffee, like a pound of coffee in them.
Why are all of them, why do they all taste so different? Like, it's so consistent too. That's the thing about it. It's not like randomly Goldfish are tasting different. It's like when I go for, check it out, hold on. When I go for these bags.
Yeah. They're going to be trash. That's going to be trash.
When I go for this bag, no, honestly, Nick, I like these.
They're too crispy.
I love these. When I go for the smaller sort of medium style bag, I'm talking like the size of a bag where it's like almost as big as like a bag of hot Cheetos or something. That's like kind of the size comparison I'm going for right now. Mm-hmm. They always have a certain crunch and a certain taste to them. And I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I generally kind of dig the Goldfish in that bag. Now these, Nick, these in the gigantic big Ziploc bag, always way too salty.
No.
I was gonna
throw in with you on this, Andy, because you know we both have our love of Goldfish. It's probably being, I would say, goat tier, maybe top three tier crunchy snack foods that you can eat while watching and or playing games.
Yeah.
But I have to vehemently disagree with you here, because I think out of all of these that you've listed, see, these are always very inconsistent for me. The ones that come in the old school, like paper pouch that look the roll up ones.
Right, the standard ones. I got one on hand.
Those are the ones to me that I think should be the gold standard for what Goldfish should taste like. But having said that, they're inconsistent. That's what I'm talking about right there. See, I like the feel of the bag. I like the matte nature of the bag. They're at their best. See, I feel like I always get these and they're always kind of burnt tasting, like a little too cooked. And I like that. I don't like when they're undercooked and you kind of taste the fake cheese that goes into them.
No, I think part of the problem that I have, and again, you know, we're talking about sting operations. I want there to be a gigantic investigation go down. Like,
I think there should be.
I need the CIA. I need the FBI. I need like NATO. Everybody get on NATO. This. Mm-hmm. NATO.
Yeah. I think NATO. Yeah. UNICEF.
What I'm gonna do right now, I'm gonna open up this bag.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna give a rating on it and what it usually tastes like, because the ones in these bags, the standard bags, mm-hmm. more and more they have started to taste like the foil that they are in.
Yeah.
That's the unfortunate thing about this.
If they don't put enough salt in it, you just taste sort of the other ingredients that go into it. And it can be off. But that's why I say, like, I err on the side of more salty for these things than less. Break them open, Andy. Let me see one of these things too. Let me see if it's the light yellow, throw them out. They gotta be an orange or a dark yellow.
Well, I mean, color.
That's a good color. That's got a little tan to it. They should look like they just came back from day one at the beach. You know? Not like what me and Tim look like right now, which is white as a piece of fucking printer paper.
If these are good, I will recommend the usual statistics that we give each other when we talk about the identification numbers and everything like that. Yeah, Tim, you would have walked away, but I was telling Nick, like, I want the FBI, CIA, NATO. Mm-hmm. I want everybody on this right now. So here we go.
Pull the strings.
That's a good bag. That's a good fucking bag.
Okay, this is a good fucking bag.
But the last two bags I've gotten, not like this. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, Nick, you know you're kind of fucked when you get a bunch of goldfish when like 90% of the goldfish you're getting are not puffy.
When
most of them are squished together, mm-hmm. you know that... you know, whoever was working on this one, maybe fucking was, you know, a case of senioritis. They were on the way out. Maybe they're headed to summer vacation and they just like quickly threw this back together. And, you know, whatever you do, you get the goldfish from the ocean and throw them on the fucking stove or whatever.
Throw them on the skillet.
Yeah, on the skillet. Yeah, because like this bag is kind of hitting all the marks that I've been wanting goldfish to have. And by the way, this is Romeo Uniform 3. What's N? NATO.
November.
November 0752. Once again, that's Romeo Uniform 3, November 0752. Sell by date August 7th, 2022. So this is a good one that I would recommend to anybody. Universally recommend it.
I'm disappointed that we never put the app together. Remember the app we talked about? Where it was good, like, it tells people what the good batches are, where to get them, and also what all the bathroom codes are to Starbucks's.
Oh, right. It's a very unique, small audience.
If it finds you, people can be like, "Oh, that's for me." Like, that's it is definitely
Like you walk to the Starbucks over here in this area of San Francisco, and it's like, "Damn, let me check out the app. It's updated as of yesterday." Yeah, cool.
I'm the Goldies are looking good over there too. It's only a 3-block walk. Might as well do it.
4545. Awesome. Yeah.
This the Chinese supermarket near where I live that we frequent all the time, and my brother is always going there getting snacks and stuff. You guys know me; I'm not a big snacker, but every once in a while, I'm like, "Oh, I'm craving little hot Cheetos or something," so I'll go and get them. Recently, they've been like changing out their like what their offerings are, and they know my brother way more than they know me because he goes there a lot more. And one time, a couple of days ago, me and him walked in, and the lady was so excited, like, that we were there, and like, I guess that my brother goes there and buys chips often enough that she felt it appropriate to come up to us and like recommend this new shipment of chips that she just got. But she walks up to me with this bag of Lay's.
Whoa. Yeah.
Spicy crawfish flavor.
Oh, that's
crazy. Oh, crayfish? Crawfish.
I say crawfish, but it's probably, you can say crayfish probably.
Yeah, what's the difference?
Crayfish,
I always
crawfish.
Said crawfish, I always but say it's crawfish, spelled with a Y.
I'm on it. Crayfish.
Anyway, super damn good, but these are the most pungent things I've ever smelled in my life. And it really makes you think, like, they can make these damn chips taste like anything. And it's really impressive, you know? Like, it always has the same texture and like kind of crunch to it. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden this aftertaste, I'm like, "Holy shit. It's like I'm at a shrimp boil."
Here we go. Crawfish are crustaceans, crayfish are mammals. Watch out for me. Be careful.
Yeah. Tim, you know I fell in love with the shrimp chips, the shrimp crackers from in Japan. And those things have just been they hit every once in a while. They're not a staple in my life, but every once in a while I'll crave them. I'll run out and try to find them at the store.
So this tastes exactly like those, but with the texture of Lay's and with the kick of the spice. Like that's the X factor that I'm a big fan of.
And what a weird and great world we live in sometimes. Mm-hmm. Not anyway, always, but when things like that find us, isn't that beautiful?
I'm glad you all got my dissertation on the goldfish. Because this is something that I've been very, very passionate about. I'm actually getting Jason to try to work on a report with me, tag teaming this. Yeah. Because at this point, it's like, I feel like there's enough corruption up at the top in Nabisco Peppers Farms, Peppers Farms. Yeah. There's enough corruption up there that I feel like, you know, is this a class warfare sort of thing?
Oh, wow. You think it's a class warfare thing?
Possible.
I think, first off, I applaud you and I commend you for enlisting Jason Schreier, the Schreier guy, he's a great investigative journalist.
Probably nobody's ever called him that. Nor have you.
Also, can you imagine if Jason fucking Schreier were to hear this and hear Nick Scarpino call him the Schreier guy nonchalantly? Like, I just love it so much because, like, Jason Schreier and Nick Scarpino are two human beings that, like, just should never.
There's
ever
no Venn diagram.
Two great people. I love them both for very different reasons.
We have a lot of commonalities that maybe you guys don't know about because we haven't explored them yet. But I love that. I just want to say as a general safety tip, Andy, probably a good idea before you investigate the company to figure out which company it is. So I'm glad we figured out that it was Petrus Farms.
Yeah.
That's good.
At one point, Nabisco had something to do with it, maybe.
Maybe. I just always assume things are Nabisco or Frito-Lay's. But Pepperidge Farms always like, because you don't want to think a class act like Pepperidge Farms is capable of wrongdoing.
Yeah.
But from what you're saying, and these are allegations that I feel like could be liable and or slanderous, but I'll stand behind Andy.
You're going to back me?
Working. Yeah, I'll back you on this one. Because I think it's important. I think it's important to figure out. I don't think that it's corruption. I think it's more just incompetence and volume that's contributing to the inconsistencies with these things. But I would like them to, like, give us the whatever the equivalent to a blue check mark is.
Yes. As,
you know what I mean? Like, let us know. Because really, let's be honest, Andy. If you could know which batch to get, if there was, like, if you, like, grabbed a batch and all of a sudden the cashier was like, and just waved you off, wouldn't that be good enough for you, right? You'd drop the investigation at that point?
I think so, yeah. If I had somebody on the end that kind of had insider knowledge, I think at this point the problem with it is that they've become so comfortable with their process that they are likely aware of the issues that are plaguing their corporation, and they're ignoring them. Like, they have to know. There have to be people there working there knowing that if you get that bag, it's going to taste different and it's going to feel different than the ones in those bags.
Oh, well, they got to come from different, real talk, they got to come from different factories probably, right?
I mean, I don't, it's weird. Like, do you think it's a packaging thing?
Yeah, I think it's a manufacturer / packaging / what part of the country, what factory do they
get? Like, we're a factory that does plastic bags only. That's right, why they exactly taste this way.
Like, they get wrapped that way. But you know, you say that though, but what other thing does Pepperidge Farm make that's like that? Because the only other things that I know that Pepperidge Farms makes is like the pirouettes, the cookies, the Milanos, the, you know, those like kind of dry but kind of good chocolatey cookies.
I love those things, man.
I love them too. But that's
I've never had a bad one.
What are you talking about?
That's a great point. Maybe we got to put that team in charge of the goldfish. Mm-hmm. You ever type in Pepperidge
Farms cookies in that very unique
bag. They're like vertical. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're called pirouettes. Type in Pepperidge Farms pirouettes.
Well, pirouettes is just one type of them, right? Like,
there's a whole bunch, but it's like Taco Bell, right? Where it's like, oh, you think they got 30 different menu items, but guess what? It's fucking the same three ingredients.
Good points.
Every single thing they do. Although I saw someone last time I got Taco Bell, I saw a lady drunkenly destroying a Crunchwrap Supreme. And I'm like, man, I got to go back on the Crunchwrap Supreme train. I haven't had one of those in a while. It just looks so – she was just holding it like this, and she just took that first bite, and the look of happiness in her face. I'm like, I haven't had that in years, man.
The Crunchwrap Supreme has become my, in my adult age, my just go-to. If like, if I can only choose one thing, it's what I'm going for. Because I feel like it's the most substantial meal. It's that or the Quesarito are the two options where you don't get to play the game of ordering 10 million things, which is the right way to play at Taco Bell. But if you can only get one thing, Crunchwrap Supreme, Quesarito.
I'm scared to ask, what is the situation where you can, the person only allows you to get one thing at Taco Bell?
Let me tell you, Nick. The situation is you're ordering on DoorDash.
We're cutting you off.
You're ordering a DoorDash and you're just hoping that what you order gets to you.
That's a good
call. Taco Bell is like the one thing that, because of the way everyone orders it, which is just haphazardly, whatever shows up at your house, like, it's probably not going to be your order. Like, everywhere else has it down to a science. Taco Bell, you're about to get whatever the person before you ordered. So anytime you're ordering at Taco Bell, think of it as paying forward, you know?
Yeah, it's a good call. That's why you should order like four or five things, because you never know. Like, I would be, if I didn't get what I wanted, but seven different menu items from Taco Bell showed up instead, something in there is great. You know what I mean? Something that's gonna make me happy. I'm totally there's gotta be something there. Like, it's so true though. Taco Bell, ordering from Postmates on Taco Bell, it's the one place where Postmates and DoorDash drivers are just like, this is a 50-50, man. If I get there and it's a shit show, I'm just gonna ghost you. And honestly, I don't blame them. Because I tried to order from the one that was closest to me for a while, was the one on like Eddy Street in San Francisco, which is like the heart of the Tenderloin. And then when you walk by that, you're like, this place is not a place that I would stop to get food for other people. I would not put myself in this situation for money if I wasn't going to get the food myself. Andy, you got a question?
Well, hold on. Sorry, Andy. Yeah, I want to get your question. Real quick, I just want to say, Nick would not put himself in that position for money, but he would for Taco Bell.
I wouldn't personally go there for Taco Bell.
Oh,
but
gotcha.
I've ordered from there. But
Hold
it against the guy for driving there and being like, no, I'm not getting out of my car, and then just keep going, right? There's been three or four times where I tried to order from that one, because it technically on the map was the closest one to me. And the Postmates guy is just like, no, I'm not. It just got canceled. And then I had to get in my car and go to the Geary one, it has gotten better, I will say. But it is one of those, for people, if you're listening to it, it's a Taco Bell that has one of those, like, if you want to get in the bathroom, you got to put a quarter in it and turn the little knob like you're at the fucking beach, because it's so disgusting inside that they want to like ward people off from going in. You got to want it there. Andy, what were you going
to
say?
Well, the reason I raised my hand was, to get back to the goldfish topic, the more important topic at hand, I Googled, why do goldfish taste different? Oh, no, my phone went off. Sorry. And up comes up a Reddit article, a Reddit post from 2 years ago. And it says, it's on r/foodscam. It's got 382 upvotes. We're not alone. And it says goldfish taste different now. I don't know how to describe it, but the best thing I can think of is metal. Wow. It says, I don't know if they changed the recipe or what is going on, but every box I buy tastes like the same no matter what. So I just want to know if this thing is happening to anybody else. Again, 382 upvotes. People are loud and clear about this. This is a loud vocal majority. LH Star replies, story time. A couple years ago,
we didn't know what to giggle with.
Story time says, LH Star says, story time. A couple years ago, I had some of the devil's lettuce and ate an entire bag of goldfish. I thought it tasted weird, so I complained on the Pepperidge Farm website that my goldfish didn't taste goldfishy enough. And they mailed me a coupon pack for the new bag of goldfish. Pepperidge Farm just paying people off at this point to stay silent.
Like, I'm fine with it.
Giving you free products to just stay silent. And I got to assume the LH Star is kind of like disparagement sort of, you know, they probably made him sign an NDA and now he can actually talk about it. And then people replied, if you want goldfish with flavor, get Flavor Blasted. Regular goldfish are now essentially unsalted orange fish shaped saltines. Nick, would you agree with that?
Wait, they said that regular goldfish are now unsalted?
Are now essentially unsalted orange fish shaped saltines.
Are you talking about just cheddar goldfish or regular goldfish?
Regular. People are just complaining about it.
If you're a savage and you're eating anything other than just the cheddar goldfish, you've got your own problems. I can't help you. That's not what we're talking about here.
I think that's what they're saying.
Yeah,
they're saying that the Flavor Blasts are what you remembered as being originals.
No, Flavor Blasts are too much.
Wolfman says, yeah, but Flavor Blasts, it doesn't have the same grainy, salty dopeness of your which I really appreciate the usage of your there.
Yeah, yeah, that was good.
It just seems like we're not alone. Like, there's a lot of people here on the same wavelength as us. The flavor is different, says Itchy Tomato. I notice around springtime it's different. I eat them.
That's a conspiracy.
I eat them and drink a V8 like as a snack. You to eat
fucking honey. Look, eat some local honey. It's gonna be okay. Spread it on your eyes.
Who fucking drinks a V8? Like, anybody that drinks V8, like, I'm sorry, but like, I don't trust you as much as I would trust somebody that doesn't. You know what I mean?
If I see you drinking a fucking V8, I'm like, what's up, officer?
Yeah, like there's some issues narc there.
What's going on, dude?
Anyway, I just feel like I'm happy to see that people are kind of agreeing with me and sort of the metal taste. I wasn't expecting to see people agreeing with that, where I said it kind of tastes like foil. It's very, very, very concerning, everybody.
Alex G3B in the live chat, because they're patrons and they can watch in the live chat just like you can. If you guys go over to patreon.com/kindoffunny and back us at those tiers, you can watch the shows live, be with us as we're recording them, get the shows ad free, and of course stick around for our post show, which is going to happen in a little bit. Said something about Nick's old taste buds probably can't tell the difference, and then he put a cute little smiley face there with a wink and his tongue out, like I'm not going to fucking see that affront to my elderliness.
Got a point, though. Cigarettes also may have affected your taste buds over the years.
They for sure did, but I can't get behind the flavor blast. It's just too much of a good thing, unfortunately. And the one thing that I do want to bring up, though, Andy, before we go, is where do you come down on the giant milk carton like thing you get from Costco?
Those used to be the defaults that I would go for, and that's where I started noticing the metal iron taste kind of more accentuated. I would get those, that's where I started noticing it. So I would go back to the normal bags. And then again, the Ziploc bag, just, it's like they get the Ziploc bag Goldfish, the big larger bags, and they just get like a fucking salt shaker and just like, it's too much, way too much salt.
I love it. I love too much salt.
Way too much salt. And then, in this thread also, the Mexi says Goldfish are trash, Cheez-It gang. So we're getting people in here just probably plants.
No. Now here. I fuck with Cheez-Its also. As you know, Greg and I became best friends. We became best friends because of hot and spicy Cheez-Its. We shared a desk. We produced a show together. True. And I was like, I don't know if I like this guy or not. And then one day,
he
started bringing in boxes of Tabasco sauce Cheez-Its for me and Drucker to eat. And then, of course, pre-COVID, we were basically licking each other's hands. I'm well aware of this. But man, we bonded over that. And it was one of to this day, every time I see one in a store, I'll take it. They don't call them Tabasco anymore. I think they lost they call them hot and spicy now because I think they lost
the
brand deal with Tabasco. But I'll take a picture of it every once in a while and just send it to Greg. But like, remember the days when we were young, when our hips still worked. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're a patron, actually, I want to ask a question before we go here.
Yeah.
Eric Myers writes and it says, Kevin created a time machine and you are allowed to bring someone back from the past purely just to party with and hang out with. Who are you going to grab to have the best time with, and what are you going to do? I want to go to a water park with Benjamin Franklin because I have to assume he'd be really surprised and have a good time sliding and hanging in the wave pool. I love that the inception of this, Eric Myers, was that clearly you just watched Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and saw them go to San Dimas, like the water park with Napoleon, and you just subbed in Ben Franklin, an American hero, instead of that French crazy guy, Napoleon, who, by the way, wasn't that short, apparently. I'll look that up. I don't know why.
All right, Nick. How short was he? What is his height that you're like, you know what? It's not that bad.
I didn't see his actual height, but I remember thinking, I think I Googled how short was Napoleon. And the first thing that popped up was that was actually a rumor started by his rivals.
5'6".
To diminish him. Mm-hmm. Is that what it says? 5'6"?
5'6".
Mm-hmm. But this was like 2000 years ago when people were like, 5'6 was like the new 6'4".
Yeah.
Just think about that, right? Like, people were, back during the French Revolution or whenever Napoleon was an admiral, he was like normal height. People looking at him like, this guy.
This is about 200 years ago.
Peter the Great was 6'8".
What did I say? 2000? 2000. Like,
Peter the Great was 6'8"? Holy fuck. You're a monster. Like,
so this is weird. How short is Napoleon is what I Googled. Napoleon, 5'6". People also search for Peter the Great, 6'8". Adolf Hitler, 5'9".
Yeah, 5'9".
Maximilian Robespierre, 5'3".
Huh. Peter the Great was 6'8". The average height at the time was 5'4".
Why do you guys keep saying Peter the Great? Like, I'm supposed to know who this is. Who is this person?
It just popped up on Google. Me and Tim saw the same sort of thing. He was a monarch of the Tsardom of Russia and later the Russian Empire from May 7th, April 1682 until his death in 1725.
Yeah. See, if you're that tall, you can be a monarch. That's how they hire you.
I mean, if you're that tall, you got to assume that, like, there's some witchcraft involved or something like that. Again, the average height at the time was 5'4". That's incomprehensible.
Yeah, I mean, 6'8" to this day.
6'8" now is ridiculous.
Like,
yeah.
Like, what is Scoville? Max Scoville is like 6'5"?
No way he's 6'5". He's got to be like 6'9".
Greg's 6'3", and he's a few inches taller than Greg.
I mean, yeah, dude, it's being around Max Scoville. I'm like, holy crap, you seem like you're in a different universe, which, look, like, often makes me think, what does Gia think about me? Like, does she think about me the way I think about Max Scoville? Because that's,
look,
crazy to me.
I've stood next to Shaq. I feel like Max Scoville.
Thanks for flexing on that.
Anyway. I am often more freaked out by Max Scoville's height than I was by Shaq. Like, anytime I hug Max Scoville, it's got to be like my head against his belly. It's like the same with Rahul Kohli. Sometimes I feel like Rahul is very, very high up there in height.
Really?
He's not that tall. He's probably like 6'2", 6'1".
I'm thinking the time we hugged Grayson from Hang Time.
Oh, Grayson is a large man.
Grayson is like 6'8". Yeah.
Raul Cooley's 6'4"?
Yeah, bro.
According to Google?
Yeah, but hold that's cool. You know, you add 2 inches. On Google, I'm 6'2". You know? And I was born in 1981, which is cool. Don't change that.
Nick Scarpino height, it just doesn't say.
Exactly.
There are some factsbuddy.com says Nick stands at a height of 5'8".
There you go.
Oh my God, Nick, have you seen Blessings, the tweet about his height?
No. What did he say?
Hold on. Andy, do you know what I'm talking about?
Hey, Rahul Kohli, you're on the Kind of Funny podcast. How you doing, man?
Oh, for fuck's sake. No, I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. We just had a quick question for you, Rahul. By the way, miss you. Love you. Get all the skip the pleasantries. How tall are you? What's your height?
I'm 5'11".
You're not. You're such a fucking liar. How tall are you?
I've started saying I'm 5'11" because it spooks other guys who say they're 5'9", 5'10", 5'11".
You piece of shit.
6'4".
Holy shit, okay.
He's 6'4", so Google was right. Google's right, wow.
Google's right, I'm 6'4".
How about that? That's so cool. How about
that? Is so fucking funny.
Nick is very offended by your tactics, by the way.
Tim is stoked.
Tell him we already keep ourselves down. You don't need to keep us down anymore.
He says you don't need to keep us down anymore. All right, Rahul, I love you. I'll talk to you later, man.
I love you too.
Bye.
That was amazing. That is one of the fucking funniest things I've ever heard in my life.
I think I've seen that tactic be used on TikTok, and I'm not a huge fan of it. So what happened here with Blessing?
Damn it, I'm trying to find the tweet, and I'm not seeing it. But Bless was,
I saw him say something about I'm 2 inches shorter than something.
So he, oh man, it's funniest when I have the actual context of it. But his mom told him that somebody had hit her up and been like, "Oh, your net worth is online."
Right,
Blessing's net worth. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, all these the net worth sites are total fucking bullshit.
Great.
Always.
They're so great.
They're hilarious. But this was the funniest one I have ever seen. And I'm so mad I can't fucking find it right now. It was a picture of Bless. And it was just like talking about his net worth. And
I think he deleted the tweet. Yeah. I think he deleted the tweets because, like, this happened like yesterday, I feel. And
yeah.
Yeah, I'm scrolling back and I'm seeing like May 13th already. So I think he deleted these tweets.
All right. Well, he might have done that for some reason we don't know. So like, leave him alone there. But what was hilarious was it said that he made a lot of money. He was a certain height and he was white.
Yeah.
It said he was 5'6". Yeah. And then he was like, they subtracted 2 inches from my height.
That made me white.
Yeah. That's why you never, ever, ever trust anything you read on the internet.
Yeah, the celebrity website say that I'm 24, which I'll take. I'll take that age, you know.
I think my wiki still says I'm born in 81, which I think is the coolest thing. If we could actually go in there and edit it to be like 82, 83, that'd be great. I'd like to be just like 1 year younger than Greg. Eventually. Not now. You guys got to be cool. You can't just skip to like 1984. You got to just like slow play that thing a couple months here and there. Shave them off, as they say. Because one day someone's going to look back and be like, wow, Nick died when he was 41. Because we'll just keep shaving off years.
All right. There's so much funny things here. Like, first off, I'm pretty sure Greg is 6'3", Tim is 6'1", Kevin's 5'8", and Nick's 4'11". So there's that. But then also, there's this thing saying that, like, Tim Geddes is a man of average stature and stands at a height of 5'8".
What are you looking?
I just Googled Tim Geddes' height, and I'm just, like, looking at random things. So factsbuddy.com is saying that I'm a man of average stature.
Buddy, you just got a fucking wicked.
You're 6'2". Fuck five, that. Eight.
I'm six. I'm just six. I'm just pure six.
Wait, you?
Yeah, Tim's six.
Oh, right.
Six straight up.
I used to say Greg was 6'4", and then he corrected me one time. He's like, you know, I'm like 6'3". I'm barely 6'3". And I was like, wow. I just, because, you know, Andy, you always want the taller people to be taller. You always want like the 6'5", 6'3" people. You're really 7 foot tall, right? That's how tall you
are. Yeah. Yo, this is fucking so hilarious. All right. Factsbuddy.com has a bio on Tim Geddes. Some copy and paste stuff that is not interesting. And then, cool, it has my birthday, June 30th, 1989. I am average stature, 5'8". That's not true. Let's see. Tim Geddes' wife. Tim is married to his beautiful wife, Giance Harris.
Yeah, Giance Knowles Harris.
Tim is married to his beautiful wife, Giance Harris, a feminist and fitness person. Yep. The couple lives in the United States with their dog.
Yep. That's amazing.
They're so close to so much of that. But the minor details they got wrong so hard.
That's amazing.
Oh, this is fucking hilarious.
Giance, can you please start calling? Can we start calling Gia Giance?
Yeah.
I think that's what we called her at one point. Like when this all, when the proposal
really
happened.
Quickly.
Yeah, it was like a funny little joke.
Moment. But like, I love that she's now such a small known moment on the internet as Giance.
You got to let her know that. I think she's not going to like that at all.
She'll love it. She'll fucking love it.
Oh. All right. Well, you know what, Eric Myers? We're out of time for your question right now. But I'm going to keep that on the list for when Greg comes back next week because I think that's a fun one. And thank you for writing in. And thank you for all of you guys.
I forgot Eric asked a question. I'm so sorry.
He did. It's okay. We'll catch you next week. I think some, for a lot of people, it's just enough for us to read their questions. Most people want us to answer them too. But Eric writes in a lot, as does Melissa Hagler out of Banger question as well. So we'll get to those next week, guys. We love you very, very much. Of course, if you're watching in the live chat, you get to stick around for our Patreon-only post show, which is going to happen right now. And if you're watching this on YouTube and you're like, oi, governor, what's a post show? We don't have those where I'm from. Well, you can go
Master
over to
Skywalker. Master Skywalker, what are we going to do?
What's your last name? It's Skywalker.
No,
now.
That's not the scene I'm talking about.
It's a yes and? Yes and?
You know, you go, you reach in there, you pull out whatever fucking thing you got in there. You guys can go over and back us on Patreon. And we love you very much. If you got no bucks to give, hey, no problem. If you're listening to this on podcast services, please rate us and share it with a friend. And if you're watching on YouTube, hey, hit that subscribe button. We like you very much. And head on over to Kind of Funny Games, our YouTube channel, where we do all sorts of cool shit. You guys have been killing it over there, from what I hear on Slack. Anyway, I love you guys very, very much. Post show starts right now.